This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to read again from the Xerces publication, Wings, Essays on Invertebrate Conservation. Last week I read Wasp Rehabilitation Tour, and you can find that online, archived, on WDRT.org. All of my broadcasts are archived. There's so many, and I wish everybody could hear all of them. This week, another article from that same issue about grasshoppers, The Joy of Grasshoppers by Angela Laws, a conservation biologist with Xerces Endangered Species Team. Angela Laws works on habitat restoration for pollinators and monarch butterflies in California. Her role also involves incorporating climate resilience into restoration projects. And a little more information about Xerces' involvement here in Wisconsin. Micah Kloppenberg is the Wisconsin Pollinator Conservation Specialist with the Xerces Society. He provides technical assistance to agricultural producers, land stewards, and community groups interested in creating and protecting pollinator habitat. You can email Micah at micah.kloppenberg, K-L-O-P-P-E-N-B-U-R-G, at xerces.org, X-E-R-C-E-S.org. Don't miss the xerces.org website. It's thorough and diverse, just like insects. A lot of fun to look at. The Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. They're a nationwide organization. And some of you may have heard Micah Kloppenberg give a talk in Viroqua not too long ago. Lots of people attended and loved it. The Joy of Grasshoppers, and this is Angela Laws. Grasshoppers hold a special place in my heart. Before starting my job at the Xerces Society, I was fortunate to spend more than 25 years doing field research on grasshoppers in Mountain Prairie in western Montana, in old fields in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, in coastal prairie south of Houston, and in tallgrass prairie in eastern Kansas. Each of these study sites had its own unique assemblage of grasshoppers, and I enjoyed getting to know all of them. I have vivid memories of walking out on the prairie in spring, flushing up newly hatched grasshopper nymphs, and watching them pinging around from plant to plant like tiny popcorn, or monitoring grasshopper density while being serenaded by meadowlarks and small grasshoppers. These insects are integral to grassland ecosystems, and my time doing this research inspired my love of both grasslands and grasshoppers. From the delicate toothpick grasshoppers to the great crested grasshopper with its attractively patterned wings and the striking rounded crest-like structure behind its head, grasshoppers can come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and many are quite lovely. One of the most colorful species in the United States is the pictured grasshopper, also known as the rainbow or barber pole grasshopper. These flightless insects have a variety of color variations, but are usually black and yellow with orange and blue markings. One of my favorites is the striped slant-faced grasshopper, a handsome species with stripes down its back and sides, sword-shaped antennae, and bright blue hind legs. I'm sorry to say that grasshoppers are not beloved by the public. People would ask me what I did for a living, and upon their learning that I studied grasshoppers, I would watch their facial expressions settle somewhere between bewilderment and horror. Usually they would follow this up by asking if I was trying to figure out how to kill them. No, I would respond, I actually really like grasshoppers. How that plays out now is such a contrast. When I tell people that I work with pollinators, they smile warmly and say something along the lines of, oh, how wonderful. The 180-degree turnaround really threw me for a long time. It is true that some grasshopper species are pests on an economic scale, and that, no doubt, contributes to their bad reputation. Periodic outbreaks occur among about 24 species in the United States, during which they might reach pest status, and in some years cause extensive damage to rangeland and grassland ecosystems, the Xerces Society is working with agencies, land managers, and local communities to improve the way we manage grassland so that we can minimize the spraying of toxic pesticides, particularly on our public lands, where this effort has protected millions of acres. Also, along with such key partners as the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, we're collaborating with ranchers to improve rangeland health, biodiversity, and resilience in ecosystems where grasshopper outbreaks can be a problem. The fact is that although some species are pests on occasion, the majority of these native insects are not a nuisance. Indeed, grasshoppers are an integral part of the grassland and rangeland ecosystems they inhabit. Grasshoppers are members of the order Orthoptera, which also contains crickets and katydids. There are more than 20,000 known species of Orthoptera globally and around 1,200 in the United States and Canada. These insects have powerful hind legs that make them strong jumpers and hind wings that fold when closed like an accordion or a fan. They're divided into two groups, the long-horned Orthopterans and the short-horned Orthopterans. As the name suggests, long-horned Orthopterans, the crickets and katydids, have long antennae, longer than their bodies. The short-horned Orthopterans are the grasshoppers, which have antennae which are much shorter than their bodies. Grasshoppers undergo simple metamorphosis, meaning that the juvenile stages, the nymphs, look very similar to the adult stage. There's no dramatic transformation, nor is there a pupal or a chrysalis stage, rather just gradual change during several molts as a nymph, followed by a final molt to become an adult. Adult females lay egg pods containing several eggs in the soil. The nymphs emerge and go through several stages called instars before molting into adults. Grasshoppers live for less than a year and are herbivores during all life stages. Most species overwinter in the egg stage, but a few do so as late stage nymphs, emerging as adults in early spring. As adults, most grasshoppers, but not all, can fly. In the United States, there are five families of grasshoppers. Three of those families, monkey grasshoppers, desert longhorned grasshoppers, and pygmy mole crickets, are altogether represented by fewer than 20 species. The delightful pygmy grasshoppers, around 30 species, are semi-aquatic. These small creatures, less than 3/4 of an inch long as adults, are often found around the edges of ponds and streams where they feed on algae. They can jump into the water and can swim to avoid predators. Their pronotum, the structure behind the head that looks a bit like a small cape thrown over the grasshopper's shoulders, extends over their abdomen and wings and can have nice geometric patterns. The coastal prairie where I worked outside of Houston flooded regularly and pygmy grasshoppers were common there. The majority of the insects that we picture when we think of grasshoppers belong to the family Acritidae, which has approximately 630 species in the United States and Canada. Most of these belong to one of three subfamilies, Melanoplinae, Gomphocerinae, and Oedipodinae. The Melanoplinae are called spur-throated grasshoppers after the small spine found at the base of their throats. Usually I think of these as generic grasshoppers. If you see one, you know instantly that it's a grasshopper. The Gomphocerinae are the slant-faced grasshoppers. Most species have acutely angled heads and are often very slender and good at blending in with blades of grass. When disturbed, these grasshoppers tend to flush and then land deep in a patch of grass and remain still, hoping to be overlooked by predators or by researchers with sweep nets. Finally, the Edapodinae are known as band-wing grasshoppers. They're strong flyers and often have brightly colored wings of red, yellow, or blue, sometimes with black bands. Some Edapodinae make clicking noises when they fly, but their flashy flight is offset by their effective camouflage. Many are mottled brown or gray, allowing them to blend into the ground when they land. Orthopterans are known for their noise. While grasshoppers do not sing as much as katydids or crickets, males of some species do have courtship songs produced through stridulation, the rubbing together of body parts. In the case of grasshoppers, the noise is usually produced by the hind femur rubbing on the fore wings, with individual species having different songs with which to attract mates. The clicking of band-wing grasshoppers in flight is called crepitation or wing snapping, likely produced by the wing membrane being abruptly pulled taut. I was lucky enough to do research at two grassland sites with American bison. The National Bison Range in Montana, now the CSKT Bison Range on land belonging to the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes at the center of the Flathead Indian Reservation, and the Kanza Prairie in Kansas. The Kanza Prairie is part of the network of long-term ecological research sites where biologists study the ecology of different landscapes across decades and is one of my favorite places in the whole world. Nestled in Kansas's Flint Hills, Kanza is a beautiful rolling prairie, emerald green in the spring and teeming with life. I love seeing bison every day on my way to work and hearing their gentle grunting and growling as they grazed. Understandably, bison naturally get a lot of attention. They are impressive animals and important to the health of prairies. Our nation's grasslands were shaped by evolutionary forces of climate, fire, and grazing. And bison grazing certainly makes a big impact. Researchers at Kanza Prairie have documented how bison grazing, especially when combined with periodic fire, leads to higher biodiversity of a variety of taxa, including plants, small mammals, spiders, and grasshoppers. While grasshoppers may not get as much love as bison, they also evolved along with the grasslands and are essential to the workings of these ecosystems. Grasshoppers live alongside these iconic mammals, feeding on plants and in turn providing sustenance for many other animals. Because grasshoppers are usually so common and abundant in grassland and rangeland ecosystems, they are an important and reliable food source. Grassland birds, which are declining at a faster rate than our birds in any other types of habitats, rely on insects, grasshoppers in particular, for food. Other vertebrates, among them small mammals, lizards, snakes, frogs, and even fish, regularly consume grasshoppers. A variety of invertebrate predators also feed on them, including robber flies, mantids, and spiders, the last of which are particularly effective predators of grasshoppers. I often saw small lynx spiders and jumping spiders catch and consume grasshoppers substantially bigger than themselves. Much of my research was focused on understanding predator-prey interactions between wolf spiders and grasshoppers. Wolf spiders, quite common in the grasslands where I worked, regularly feed on grasshoppers. Research on spider-grasshopper interactions in a variety of systems often shows that when spiders are present, grasshoppers reduce plant biomass less than they do when spiders are absent, a phenomenon known as a trophic cascade. Interactions such as these help shape the way the grassland ecosystems function. Grasshoppers have additional important roles in grasslands apart from serving as food for other species. They have been shown to help determine the composition of vegetation and, by converting plant tissue into easily decomposed frass, insect poop, they facilitate and sometimes accelerate nutrient cycling. This means that there is higher plant production in a grassland with grasshoppers than one without. Different species have different feeding preferences. For example, some feed only on grasses, while some prefer forbs, flowers and shrubs, and others prefer a mix of grasses and forbs. Depending on the assemblage of grasshopper species present and on the relative abundance of those species, they can influence the composition of vegetation in a grassland. Experiments that manipulate grasshopper assemblages show that their effects on the composition of vegetation can, in turn, affect the soil microbial community, further influencing nutrient cycling. Grasshoppers also serve as hosts for many different parasites and parasitoids. Among these are horsehair worms, a particularly fascinating parasitoid. The adult worms breed in aquatic habitats where they lay sticky strings of eggs in the water or on adjacent vegetation. Once the eggs hatch, the tiny larvae remain on the vegetation where they get ingested by feeding grasshoppers. When horsehair worms reach maturity, they reprogram grasshopper behavior, causing them to commit watery suicide so that the worms can emerge from the grasshoppers in streams or ponds and reproduce. All in all, grasshoppers are a fun group of invertebrates to get to know, with surprising variability in size and appearance. Next time you're in a grassland, take a closer look at these important insects. And this is Angela Law's essay, The Joy of Grasshoppers. I wish you could see these photographs of these grasshoppers. They're pretty outrageous. I'm going to spend more time looking more carefully at the grasshoppers we have around here. Do go and look at the Xerces, XERCES.org, the Xerces Society website. Take some time to look around at what they do and the information they have to offer. They're a terrific group. And don't forget that Valley Stewardship Network and the Prairie Enthusiasts are local organizations based in Viroqua that do a lot of work planting native plants and helping people do that for pollinators, for insects. And if you're doing something for insects, you're doing something for birds. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.